nothing and everything at the same time.
Yeah. Hello and welcome to the IXDA Sydney podcast, a show where we can't guarantee answers, just better questions. I'm Jessica Pang, and in this episode, Sam and Vanita are chatting with, drumroll please, themselves. We recorded this in mid-February as a backup for a presentation they did at the Interaction 23 conference for the Local Leaders Retreat. They chatted about the process of actually creating this podcast, our lessons learned, and the outcomes we've seen. This episode is a break from our normal programming, but we thought it would be a good listen for those thinking of starting their own podcast. Thanks for following us on this journey as we close off the second season.
Hi, Sam.
Hello, Vanita.
So we're just chatting through a little bit of how we've put together the IXDA Sydney podcast for the Local Leaders Retreat. And maybe the question to start off with was, how did it come about? What was the initial idea?
We wanted to try something a little bit different in conjunction with our IXDA mentoring program. So instead of doing the standard weekly materials where we would create a introduction and then run through and have touch points along the way, we wanted to run through and build that out through a learning platform or series of episodes through meeting local leaders or people within the industry within Sydney and Australia. So what we found, it was a great way to bring people along the journey and also keep people engaged whilst they're working along and going through the mentoring experience. With the episodes that we did, they were mostly along the lines of either getting into design or improving your design craft. But we had some episodes which were directly linked to the mentoring program as well. So how do you get started with mentoring? Ask me anything. And at the end, wrapping things up nicely with speaking to people who are doing the mentoring program to get their opinions on what went well, what didn't, and what could be improved going forward.
Yeah, and I thought another really good thing about the podcast, even though it aligned with each of the weeks of the mentoring program, was that it covered just a massive array, right? So there were people that were starting off in design, there were people that were more senior. So each week the podcast could be aimed at different groups of people, which I thought worked really well. When you're trying to cover off such a large range, it was really good for that just because you had that variety going through. Some people did use the podcast as a, let's listen to it and talk about this week. And some people completely ignored it, which was totally fine. It was a good artifact to have at the end as well. And then our second season is completely non-mentoring related. So we're calling it kind of the zeitgeist of design. So things that are top of mind for designers at the moment. So Web3, sustainability, that kind of thing. So it's been a lot of, we've taken variety and then dialed it up to then have really, really different episodes as well. So we would recommend a theme for each season, but also our theme this season is kind of nothing but everything, which is good.
Nothing and everything at the same time. Yeah. So what are your key areas of, in terms of the process, in terms of how we actually created the podcast?
Yeah, so we kept it super simple. We actually do what we're doing now, which is that we actually just record from a Google Meet and then just cut the audio out. And for some people, I know that they want multi-track and stuff like that. We try to keep it uber simple. So if voices do overlap, that's okay. There's other tools out there like Soundtrap, which is by Spotify. We actually release our episodes through a Spotify tool, which I'll talk about a little bit later. But from a process perspective, we each have headsets and microphones, which I think make a huge difference in sound quality. But we all take turns of doing different parts. So usually there's three of us. So last season we had Molly Lewis, who has since moved away to London, we'll hopefully come back. And this season we're recording with Jessica Pang, who's awesome. And so we take turns in terms of networking and bringing people in, but then also who's actually hosting it. So two of us host it at a time, and then who's editing and marketing it as well. So the way that we bring in someone is that, so for example, if I have a contact for this particular episode, I'll go have a chat with them for 20, 30 minutes and come up with a speaker guide. We have a bit of a template for that. We fill it in. And then if we're all happy with that, the three of us, then we schedule in that 1 hour commitment for the actual recording. So we'll all make sure that we're in the speaker guide and have it pulled up while we're recording as well. And when we do the recording, there's two people hosting and one person in the back that's just following along on our Slack channel, the flow of conversation, just making sure we've covered everything in the speaker guide. So I'll hand it back to you, Sam. What happens after that?
So what happens after we've actually
recorded? Yeah.
So after we record, we then do our post-production. We have a couple of different tools where we use post-production. So initially, I used to just go straight into Premiere Pro and cut up via Premiere Pro. And Vanita, I think you used Audition. Is that correct?
I used Audacity because I was super old school, but I think Audition works better and it's also multi-track, which helps. Definitely it helps at the end of layering our intro music and outros and all that stuff as well.
Yeah, okay, great. We use those tools, but now we've introduced another tool called Descript into our workflow. It's a really quick and easy way just to remove a lot of the filler words, so your ums, ahs, a lot of repeat words. I said repeat a couple of times there. So that's a really, really good way to really smash that out and remove a lot of that. And then I would then go and finish that off within Premiere Pro and add the introduction, the backing music and the outros. We would record the outros just separately. So we have the two hosts and then the third person would be adding the introduction. And that would be nicely meshed over with short paragraph that's been given to us by the speaker that we're interviewing. And then after that, we send over to the speaker and they'll run through a quick draft and give the thumbs up, which will then put and publish onto Anchor FM, which will then push over to, I think we've got it across 7-8 different podcast platforms. So really quick and easy way to get stuff across. We also have stuff like your artwork and speaker guide and resource list that we then upload to the IXDA Sydney website.
Yep. The only thing I'd add to that is the editing process is probably the thing that takes the longest. So Descript's been really awesome because it helps you edit that stuff, but it's quite manual. So I don't know about you, Sam, but for me, it's about 4 hours to run through a probably, 45 to 50 minute episode twice.
Like 2-3 hours, depending
okay.
on the.
I think you're a lot faster than I am. I'm just like super slow, like listening. And the other thing I think just to add in was when we're doing the recording, we actually halfway through, we take a little bio break and make sure that we've covered things off in the speaker guide, give the speaker a little bit of space. Because in the 1 hour recording, it can be quite a lot just to be talking continuously for that whole amount of time as well. So yeah, just a little learning. What do we do from a marketing perspective?
So that's probably one of the part of the process that we really haven't got down pat at the moment. It's really ad hoc. We post to different channels such as Instagram, LinkedIn, and our internal Slack channels. That's again something that we could potentially look at improving, maybe adding like 1 minute teaser videos or things like that, which could make it a bit more intriguing for people to join and listen to the podcast.
It's true. And then I think in terms of learnings, I'll speak for myself. So I think I've learned a lot about human speech. I used to be a voice designer, but I think I've learned more about voice doing the podcast. Just like people's, crutch words, which I just used. So like, right, there's a lot of filler words like so's and ands. learned some interesting tidbits around how non-native and native speakers speak as well. Like there's a little bit of enunciation and everyone has a different, by the end of the editing, I can look at a sound wave and say that's someone's, which is good and bad. It tells you how long that it takes.
My ones are awful. You know which ones they are. They're the really long.
And then we also give a little tip to any speaker. If you're going to start running into your words, which I do quite often, just stop and restart your sentence rather than running into it. Because one of the worst things to edit is when they're just like, blah, blah, and if you can't cut the you have to keep it. And then it rolls into the other thing. So that's definitely a learning from an editing perspective. Any other learnings from the podcast?
I guess like motivation is going to peak and flail at different times of the recordings, and I think what is really important, if people are going to be running and doing their own podcasts, is to not do it on your own. So include 2-3 people and you can push each other forward when your motivation may not be as high as others. So we certainly had dips in productivity towards the end of the first series, and we're probably getting to the plateau now where we've had like a big spike in productivity over like Christmas, New Year, and we're coming to that natural plateau. But yeah, I think having other people to push you forward is really important. In addition to that, I would say if you are thinking of doing it, do it for the love of design and being able to really push yourself forward. I feel like I've grown a lot over the last year just from being able to listen to these guests who essentially have been like live mentoring sessions as such. So I've learned a lot there, and I've also learned how to deliver and communicate slightly better than I have done before.
Those are really good points. I agree. I feel like three people is a really, the trifecta is pretty awesome, because like this is all volunteer work. So when things get busy in other areas of life, like Sam and Molly and Jess, like everyone stepped in at different times when I've had things going on and vice versa. So I think it works quite well. Yeah. And my final piece of advice, I think, would just be keep it simple. Don't overproductionize it. We use just the tools that we have. We figured out some of the extra things along the way, but just don't overcomplicate it and just jump in. It's always good to try out a couple episodes, see how you go, and you can start to see what it feels like. And then, you know, if you decide to stop, that's great. And if you want to keep going, then go for it.
I guess from like an impact perspective, I felt like we didn't really see the impact until maybe the end of the first series, where we did just a congratulations, we finished the mentoring program / podcast, and we just organized a space at the pub and we had about 30 odd people turn up, which was
a lot.
Pretty awesome. And yeah, it's weird, people being like, oh, I know your voice.
Terrifying.
Yeah, it was quite strange.
But yeah, it's a good point. If you can take it out of the virtual for, you know, a handful of touch points, then you can start to see the impact. And we looked at our analytics for who listened to what and all of that good stuff too, but we weren't super, like, we weren't obsessively looking. We didn't put OKRs of we're going to hit this many listeners and all of that stuff. We just kind of did it and learned things now in retrospect of which episodes were most listened to versus least listened to and things like that. We also had, I think, close designer friends who gave us really good feedback, like very tangible feedback, like change. I remember on one of them, it was like, we can't find your audio transcript. Where do you have it? And it's like, well, say that in the podcast recording. So we've changed the outro. So things like that, I think, is helpful to have even someone outside of your little group to just give you that bit of design critique. Cool?
Cool.
And that concludes the latest episode of the Sydney IXDA podcast. For the transcript and resources, along with more information on IXDA, please visit ixdasydney.org. See you next time.